Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, students, to our lesson summary review. For today, we're going to be covering session 4 of the course, Bible Ethics, today. And this session is dealing with God gives you rules for living. God gives you rules for living. And in this session, you will identify and prayerfully appreciate the rules that God has given us in the Bible. I like to call the rules that God has given us opportunities for blessing. So this is what this week's lesson summary review is going to cover, session 4 of the course Bible Ethics. And as we always do, we want to take time to pray that each and every student and staff member will become more Christ-like in every area of his or her life. Even if we don't know anything about the background of each other, we can pray that our lives will be molded and shaped after the image of Christ Jesus, and that each and every one of us will be given the power to become an overcomer in the name of Jesus Christ. So let us seek the face of God even now, students, as we prepare to study and to learn this week's lesson. Father, we bless you, we praise you, we honor you. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for your majesty, your dominion, and power. We also thank you, Father, for every student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary, and all of those listening to the sound of my voice around the world today, that their hearts and minds will be open to receive wisdom and knowledge by the Holy Spirit, that wisdom and knowledge will be imparted into their hearts and minds, and that they will be empowered to walk in a life of obedience to you. So we bless you, we thank you now for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. We're on the course Bible Ethics, session 4 this week, which is entitled, God Gives You Rules for Living. And so as we go through this week's review, I hope that you have your study guide, your note-taking materials to take note of some of the major highlights of this lesson that will help you to identify and appreciate the important rules that God has given us in the Bible. Now, if you're going to be taking notes with us, there are at least 4 major sections that we're going to review for you today. And the first section that we're going to cover is Rules of Men. The second heading is Commandments of God by Moses. The third major heading is Teachings of Jesus. And our fourth major heading that we will cover in this review is Apostles' Direction. So let's begin with our first objective, for God gives us rules for living. Now, to begin this week's review, let me put this question before you. Do we really need rules? Why can't we just trust everyone to do the right thing? I want you to think about those two questions for a moment, and you can write down an answer or response to that on a blank sheet of paper. Do we really need rules? And the second question is, why can't we just trust everybody to do what is right? And I think if you were to turn on your television sets or go online on the internet, you will find recent stories about a person who broke some rules. And so I like to stress as we go through this week's lesson that if it were not for sin, we probably would not need rules, or at least as many as we now have. But unfortunately, as the Spirit bears out, there are always those who act as though rules are made to be broken. So this is why this lesson is very relevant for each and every one of us to apply to our own personal lives, as well as the example and witness that we should live before others in our words, as well as in our deeds. So our first objective deals with the rules of men. And it asks us to explain how God wants you to feel about the leaders and the laws of your country. Now, I like to comment that it is easy to feel good about those in political authority if we voted for them or agree with their policy positions. We don't feel good about those in political authority if we object to their policies, however. What do we do then? How should we feel then? Well, students, the Bible tells us how we should view our nation and rulers, whether good or bad, whether we agree with them or not. Now, if we were to take a look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, go ahead and make note of that portion of Scripture, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It will explain what Paul says to the Christians in Rome. And we'll see the abiding significance that this message has for Christians even today. Also, I want you to make note of Mark chapter 12, verse 17. Mark chapter 12, verse 17. And as you review that portion of Scripture, I want to ask you, what does this mean? Is Jesus only concerned about the payment of taxes, or does he have something more in mind? Now, as we look further into that portion of Scripture from Mark, I'd like to draw your attention to the following things. One, Jesus is saying that there is an obligation to the state, like taxes, that do not infringe on our obligations to God. You see, by recognizing that the state has certain authority, Jesus shows his opposition to the popular dream of a theocracy that was present during the time he walked on earth. A second thing I'd like to bring to your attention about Mark 12 and 17 is the distinction between what is Caesar's and what is God's. Jesus was stating a protest against the idolatrous claim on the coins that Caesar is God. It was inscribed on the card that Caesar is God. So Jesus basically says, give to Caesar what's his and give to God what's his. So our duties to the state and God are distinct but not separate, because both are grounded in God's will and God's sovereignty. Now, here are several other scripture passages that address this very same issue of how we should relate to the rules of our leaders and the laws of our country. Read the following passage of scriptures: 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, and Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, as well as Daniel chapter 2, verses 37 through 38. You see these passages also urge believers to obey the authorities. Now, as we begin this section about the rules of man, I ask you to make note of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And I want to go a little further into what Paul was saying to the church in Rome and what this message speaks to us today. It contains three sections that I want to bring to your attention. Romans 13, 1 through 3 contains a major premise, a minor premise, and a conclusion. So let's take a look at the major premise that comes from this portion of Scripture. The major premise: there is no authority except that which God has established. That is the major premise of what Paul was saying. He went on to say that the authorities that exist have been established by God in verse 1. So let me ask you this question. Does this mean only good authorities or governments that we approve of have been established by God? No. Look at the context of examples throughout Scripture. You understand that God is in control, that nobody obtains power unless God permits it. Any ruler, whether a good ruler or a bad ruler, is and can be used as an instrument in God's hand. They're basically serving God's purposes or wills, whether or not he or she chooses to recognize God. Now, for example, we can see the king of Assyria in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, as well as Isaiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. The king of Assyria was God's instrument of chastisement against Israel. We also can see in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, that because human government is of divine origin, God's servant must submit to the laws of the land. But there is one exception. When human law conflicts with God's law as revealed in the scriptures, believers must obey God. We see an example from Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And I also like to note that those of us who live in democratic societies have elections. We may choose leaders and change laws as our governmenting constitutions would allow. So it is important for you to exercise your right to vote for elected leaders or to run as an elected leader. A minor premise contained in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 3 is, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has established. You see that in verse number 2. And then finally, Paul gives a conclusion, and he says, those who do so, that is, those who rebel, will bring judgment on themselves. So that's another example as we're studying session 4 of the course Bible Ethics. We're talking about God gives you rules for living, and our first objective is talking about the rules of men. We're explaining how God wants you to feel about the leaders and the laws of your country or nation. Now we can also observe Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. And we can see that Jesus set a wonderful example of obeying authority when he paid taxes himself. We can also see another example in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Peter still submitting to the laws of the land during the rule of the brutal emperor Nero. So we see that we have an obligation to obey the rules and the laws of our governing nations that do not conflict with the laws of God if we're going to follow the rules for living that God has given us. So that first objective dealt with the rules of men that we are expected to obligate ourselves to as long as they do not conflict with God's law. The second area of our lesson review this week is the commandments of God by Moses. So not only are we to submit to the rules of men that are consistent and do not go against God's law, we are to follow the rules or commandments of God as revealed to us through Scripture. So our second objective asks us to know the Ten Commandments and why it is important to have the help of the Holy Spirit in obeying them. That's what this section talks about. So we have an exercise sheet that we'll try to share with you on the Facebook page. If you're in the classroom, your network training center director should provide you with a copy of the visual aid. It basically talks about the commandments, beatitudes, and the fruit of the Spirit. And this exercise will show us basically some of the commandments and the rules by which God asks us as believers to live by. And so I'm going to go through these quickly, and again, I will try to post these on the Facebook page. If you'd like to contact us by email, we can provide you, that is, with a copy of the exercise sheet to help you in your studies. But if you have a blank sheet of paper, you can make note of these things. Some of the things that God has commanded us in the Ten Commandments, in Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes, and in Paul's teaching about the fruit of the Spirit is these things. Here are 20 things we can make note of. Number one, that we should hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is God's righteousness. Two, we should worship no God but the Lord. Three, we should evidence self-control in our life. Number four, we should not desire another man's wife for what he owns, or vice versa, another woman's husband or what she owns. Number five, we should respect our father and mother. Number six, we should rejoice when we are persecuted. Number seven, we should display love and joy and peace. Number eight, do not commit adultery. Number nine, make no images to worship, any graven images. Number 10, we should show the evidence of kindness and goodness. Number 11, do not use God's name for evil purposes or in vain. Number 12, we should show mercy toward others. 13, do not steal. 14, be pure in heart. We have six more for you. Number 15, we should observe God's day of rest. Number 16, do not accuse anyone falsely. Number 17, we should display faithfulness. Number 18, be a peacemaker. 19, do not commit murder. And 20, we should evidence or show the evidence of patience or long-suffering. These are some of the rules by which we as believers are commanded to follow as given by the commandments of God, the Beatitudes or teachings of Jesus, and the teachings of Paul about the fruit of the Spirit. These are the rules that we all as believers and followers of Christ are expected to live by. Now, there's some other scriptures you can look up. I want you to make note of Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. And as you do so, I want to ask you this question. This portion of scripture talks about the rich young ruler. So, which commandment was the rich young ruler not keeping? And what happened in this man's life over time? What do you gather from reading that portion of scripture about those two questions? Well, we see in the scripture text and from the example of our lesson that he broke the first commandment, which was have no other God before him. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. You can also look up Mark chapter 4, verse 19, as well as Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, concerning what had happened in his life. You will note that it is not just the having of wealth that is potentially dangerous. It is also the desire for wealth. And Paul talked about this in his letters to Timothy and Titus about choosing leaders, make sure they're not greedy for filthy lucre. And as another portion of scripture says, what would a man gain? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his soul? So we want to make sure we always keep God first. Now, referring to a final scripture in this section about the commandments of God, I'd like to refer you to Romans chapter 7, verses 21 to 25. Please make note of that and read it if you haven't already done so. And as you review that portion of scripture, the question I'd like to ask you is, why can't you and I meet God's high standards on our own? Well, we can observe that Paul holds that the Christian life is a victorious life, but it is not without conflict. It is this tension between flesh and spirit, between the old and the new nature, between sin and righteousness that Paul is describing in this portion of scripture. But the good news is that Paul does not stop on a sour note. But he went on to describe in Romans 7:25 as well as Romans 8, verses 3 through 4, that God's glorious provision that he has made for the problem of sin in our lives. It is because of Jesus' work on the cross that we are able to meet God's high standards as we yield to the direction and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So as we read about the commandments or the things that God expects us to live up to, we realize that we do not have to do it in our own strength. We do it by surrendering our will to God's will, and He empowers us to obey His word. So far in our session four of the course Bioethics, God gives you rules for living. We've looked at the rules of men, and we've looked at the commandments of God. Let's now take a look at our third major heading for this lesson review. It is the teachings of Jesus. And this objective asks us to tell why the law of Christ is called the law of love. Now, I'd like for you to identify three examples of the practicality of Jesus' love. I want you to write down three examples on a blank sheet of paper, three practical examples of Jesus' love. And some of you may write down the fact that He healed, He provided for people's material needs, He forgave sins, He gave His life to save us, and it may be many others that you may have listed. And again, I think I gave you the scripture earlier, but I want to refer you back to it. And that is the scripture contained in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 22. But this time, I want you to focus on verse 21, where it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. I like to comment that the young man, the rich young ruler, was taking a wrong road in life, but Jesus didn't try to chase him or plead with him to reconsider. In fact, we see Jesus, out of love, let him go his own way. This story resembles the parable of the prodigal son whose father let him go to the far country. Now, with this in mind, let me ask you a question. Is there a lesson here for us when we as parents or as a church are dealing with someone who has hardened himself against us and the Lord? And I think that we should be able to see that just as the Lord allowed people to go their own way, we all have to exercise a free will. We simply do what Jesus did for this rich young ruler. It said Jesus looked at him in verse 21 of Mark chapter 10 again. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I think our response should be the same. Another question I want to ask, have you noticed that Jesus was always positive in his teaching? He didn't focus on what not to do. Why is that? Well, as we follow the example of Jesus throughout Scripture and through our lesson, we see that he focused on our relationship with God. He knew that if our relationship was one of love rather than fear, our motivation would be to do what was pleasing to the Father, not just to avoid some penalty. Also, I'd like to refer you to the question number 6 on page 70 of your study guide, where it talks about some of the reasons for obedience. And I want to also remind you of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, Matthew 5, verse 11 through 12, and also remember the fact that sin blinds us from our true condition. So this is why one of the reasons why Satan tries to get us to disobey God, to sin, because he knows that sin will blind us to our true condition. And there are several other scriptures you can look at that speaks to this issue about the reasons for obedience. You can make note of Romans 12, verses 19 to 20, Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 47. You can also look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, as well as Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, as well as verses 10 to 13. So there are lots of scriptures that you can make note of and to look at this session about the teachings of Jesus in regards to why it is called the law of love and why we should be motivated to follow Christ out of his love for us, not out of fear of penalty or punishment. So now let's go over our fourth and final heading that this lesson talked about, and that is the apostles' teachings or the apostles' direction. This fourth objective asks us to list ways in which Christ's law of love can be applied in practical daily living as presented in the apostles' teachings. Now, In this session, I want you to think about as many helpful directions for living the Christian life as possible. And I want you to think about that list that you make and look at the listings or look at the apostles' teachings in the book of Acts to see how closely the things you listed match the example of the apostles' teaching and direction. We know that they taught, they met daily from house to house for teaching, prayer, breaking bread, and fellowship. We see in one instance that they sold their possessions and gave to those who had a need. We saw how they encouraged and fellowship with one another, how they loved one another. And so I want you to make a list of as many practical things. We're talking, not talking about spiritually based things, things that are only abstract, but things that are concrete, practical, that we can utilize to help other people's lives become better, and how people can help your life to become better in a practical way. So as we have reviewed this week's session, session 4 of the course, Bible Ethics, God Gives You Rules for Living, we see the rules of man that we should submit ourselves to. We see the commandments of God that we should submit ourselves to. We see the example and the teachings of Jesus. And finally, in the book of Acts, we see contained the apostles' teachings and the apostles' direction. So in conclusion for this week's review, I'd like to comment that living out the law of love is indeed beyond our natural ability, and it requires the help of the Holy Spirit. And there is no doubt that the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts during this session about an area of life where the law of love is not operating as it should. So I'd like to encourage each and every one of you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you in that area that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. And as we conclude this week, I want us to make note of a portion of scripture that's contained in Psalms that will help us to be able to keep our mind focused in the right direction. Make note of Psalm 119, verses 35 to 37. I want you to make note of that. And I want you to pray that prayer according to those words. Pray a prayer according to those words, because I believe those words will help us as we continue to grow and as we continue to develop our life after Christ. And truly, as we submit ourselves to the rules, or as I like to say, opportunities for blessings, we will continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus. So let's pray this final prayer as we conclude today from Psalm chapter 119, verse 35 to 37. Father, we ask that you would direct our path following your commands. Help us to find delight in following your commands, O God. Father, we ask you to turn our hearts toward your statutes, your commandments, your teachings, and that we will not focus on our selfish gains. Father, turn our eyes away from worthless things. Preserve our life according to your word. Amen. Students, I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to come into your home today. Today we studied session 4 of the course, Bible Ethics, God Gives You Rules for Living. And I pray that each and one of us will humbly submit ourselves to the rules and the teachings and the examples that we've learned in this lesson, and that it will bring us to a closer place of liberty and freedom and witness for Jesus. God bless you, students. Until the next time, good day.